Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and PowerTee ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
and inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, final hour, Felger and Maz here, 5:05 in the evening on 98.5 on your FM dial, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Catch us on the app anytime you want, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. The stream just pops right up there when you download it, all our replays there. So if you miss anything that day, just catch up that night or the next morning and you're all set. So that's how you listen to us. As promised, right back to your phones on everything from the day the Patriots and where they stand right now, all this coaching stuff, and certainly as it relates to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and Josh McDaniels and now Urban Meyer, throw him into the list. If I'm a Packer fan, do I want Josh McDaniels or Urban Meyer?
I'd say McDaniels there.
Why do I want Urban Meyer?
Because he's more, he's older. He's more authoritarian. Like, there's a presence there, like, that you, I think, feel the Packers need.
Yep.
But McDaniels is, to me, with Aaron Rodgers, you got to have someone that has created that league.
You want McDaniels. Urban Meyer's a sleazebag.
What, I'm saving the world now? No, I'm still trying to win another Super Bowl.
Oh, I don't know. Really?
He's a football coach. Of course he's a sleazebag.
Right, I'll save the world some other time.
Some real dirt there with the whole Aaron Hedges thing when he was down in Florida.
Well, I root on, in air quotes, the Patriots, who employed the murder and aided and abetted the murderer just about. And you read that Globe Spotlight thing, which totally got buried. Bill encouraged him to get a safe house, for crying out loud.
Oh, no, they found it for him.
Give me a break. So wait a minute, now I'm not supposed to take on Urban Meyer as my coach because of Aaron Hernandez? That's coming from a Patriot fan?
Yeah.
That takes some gall right there, Murray.
Well, how about the other thing with his assistant coach that beat up his wife and he tried to hide all that too and all the text messages?
No,
he's
good.
A dirtbag.
No good. Dirtbag. But I feel like saving the world some other time. I feel like winning another Super Bowl and then I'll save the world.
Yeah. Dirtbag for the NFL? Perfect.
Yeah, right.
No, I mean, I'm not being a wise ass. I think that in that league you have to have a measure of dirt.
He would be a failure in the NFL.
Why do I want Urban Meyer and not Josh McDaniels? Maz thinks Urban Meyer's doing what?
Cleveland. Mm. Oh, it's perfect. Now, look, he said in his press conference today, I believe I will not coach again. That's what he said. I believe.
Believe.
I will not coach again. I just think guys like him can't help themselves. That's all. And it just the way it lays out.
Okay. So where the Patriots stand, the coaching stuff, that little Red Sox item, the hockey stuff, whatever you want. Billy in Rhode Island, what do you got first on the Patriots?
Well, first thing is, I don't think McDaniel's going anywhere. I think he's going to be the next coach. Secondly, as far as the Patriots are concerned, if you think of all the drama that started at the beginning of the year with this team, Garoppolo, the coach, the quarterback, the guys getting hurt, who's on the team, who's off the team, and they're still 9-3. You got to give a lot of credit to Belichick. You really do.
Billy, I do. I think they've gotten here primarily on coaching. I do, because I think Brady's...
I really do. I'm dead set on Belichick. He's disciplined. He gets the players disciplined. He runs it like he's running the Marine Corps.
Okay, Billy, I'm just going to stop you, though. I do. I mean, he's been mostly coaching, because I think Brady's taken a little step back. And certainly Gronkowski and Edelman have not been the same. And the defense, I think there's a lot of coaching going on there. So I think coaching's been the main reason they're here. But why do I have to give them credit for being 9-3? This is not far off than what I thought they'd be. I always thought the wins would be there. I never thought they'd be a 7-9 team. I never thought they'd be a 9-7 team. I always felt they'd be a double-digit win team right there for the bye. That would be their record. I never felt anything but that. The division's never been worse, and most of their hard games were at home. They were going to win their games. This does not surprise me one bit. I never told you they were going to lose these games. So, like, I don't. I'm not doing backflips giving them credit because they're sort of where I thought they'd be. How do they look? And this, when you ask me that question, I'm still not sold on how they look.
No, and you shouldn't be sold. To me, the way I would describe it is it's been more of a grind than it usually is. That's all. They can't win games the same way they used to. They've had to change. And so now they're becoming a little bit more creative defensively. And I like the whole idea of disguising the defense when they did it against Kansas City. That first half against the Chiefs was a thing of beauty. I thought, okay, here we go.
They've shown little glimpses of that, haven't
yes,
they?
And then in the second half, they completely collapsed against Kansas City. And I thought, well, oh, like now you're right back to where you were. But this game against Minnesota went wire to wire. So I want to see how this goes on the road, and I want to see where it ends up. But if Belichick takes this team to the Super Bowl, because I think there were teams that are better than them, that to me it'll go up there as one of his better coaching jobs.
I think they've done a great coaching job. Great. I think they've done a great job with Josh Gordon. I think Josh McDaniels, on balance, has done a great job. A little individual calls here and there drive us nuts, but I think, again, Brady's a little diminished, and his Gronkowski and Edelman are, you know, I think a full step back for both of those guys, and they're still scoring. I mean, I think it's largely coaching. I do. I think it's been largely coaching this year. Teddy and Chicopee on Josh McDaniels. Go ahead, Teddy.
This is Teddy. If Josh McDaniels leave, Mike, do you think they'll stay inside the organization to get a coordinator?
Yes. I think the next guy is this receivers coach. Is it O'Shea?
Yeah, right. That's okay. Right.
Is that who it is?
I think that's right.
I think he's supposed to be the next guy. He used to have closer tabs on this kind of stuff, but I believe that's the next guy in line.
Chad O'Shea, is that right?
Yeah, that's the name.
Okay, so I think it's Chad O'Shea is the next guy in line, wide receivers coach. The real answer is, I don't think it matters.
No, it's Bill.
Okay, now even if Bill and Brady don't meet on Tuesday nights, I still think it's Bill and Brady. And that offensive coordinator, whoever it's been, I've liked them all. We all have. Charlie, Bill O'Brien, Josh McDaniels the first time, Josh McDaniels the second. Has it really mattered which guy it's been?
No, because you know what Bill's going to do? Bill's going to give him a stack of paper that's about 60 pages, I say 60, 600 pages thick, and it's called the New England Patriots Playbook and Handbook, and he's going to give it to the OC and say, this is what we're going to do, go home and learn it. That's it. So the offensive coordinator will then just take what Bill gave him and implement it, and when he doesn't, Bill will yell at him.
Eddie in Providence on Charlie McAvoy. Hi, Eddie.
Mike, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, quick question. Has anybody confirmed, and I do realize 20 years ago was different relative to hockey. It just seems to be tougher back then. But has anybody said, McAvoy said, I want to play, guys. And they're saying, Charlie, we gotta hold you out. Has anybody said that?
No one said that, quote unquote, but it doesn't feel, Charlie McAvoy's quotes himself have not been saying that. He's been talking about how tentative he feels, and he talked about having anxiety just going out to practice for the first time.
No, I heard he's in tentative, but you know, times have changed. I wonder if he's like, guys, I want to go out. Please let me go out.
Times have changed. So. I haven't heard that from him. I don't get that sense from him, which doesn't make him a bad person. Maybe he's just really smart.
Or maybe he was really shaken by this.
Or maybe he suffered a real weird one.
And when I say shaken, I don't mean just...
No, it was a bad concussion.
Yeah, or that I also mean that maybe it affected him emotionally. Like, you know, he was scared by it.
That happens.
I mean, I wouldn't rule that out either.
But it's severe. I mean, he doesn't remember the hit. He doesn't know what hit it was. No one does. No one knows what hit gave it to him. So whether you can still get a severe concussion and not know where the hit came from, I don't know. If he's really freaked out by it, you know, he might be in the wrong job. It's a contact sport, and you're gonna get dinged.
Well, especially playing the position he plays.
It's gonna happen. And if you don't want concussions, I'd be a speed skater. Or I'd do, you know, whatever. So that's something maybe he's got to come to grips with, or maybe that's the internal thing they're having right now with him. Because that's an exceedingly long period of time for a concussion that he doesn't even remember the hit. And when I say doesn't remember, it's not like he got his concussed so bad he doesn't remember the hit. No one does.
No, that it wasn't such a singularly aggressive hit that everyone goes, well, that was it, and look how bad it was.
No one has the hit. No one knows where it happened. Greg in the car, quickly on this.
Hi. Two quick points, and I'll listen to your discussion. Number one, on the Charlie McAvoy thing, I know it's going to sound lame. Friend of a friend that's on the team says it's not the concussion, it's the heart that they're actually more afraid of, and they think that's going to be the bigger problem right now. Mm-hmm. And number two, the Patriots will run the table and win the Super Bowl. You guys have a great day.
Okay, babe. See you at the parade. The heart thing is even scarier in some respects. You know, if he's got a little mental hurdle here on the concussion and that thing, you could, you know, ultimately conquer that. If you've got a heart that isn't conducive to playing NHL hockey, then that's that.
No, that's a hard one to overcome.
Oh, that would be even worse.
Yeah. I told you, I add it all up. I look at the last year and I say, this, you know, he's missed time, a lot of it. Last year, I think he missed 20 games or so, 19, I think it was. But he had the heart thing earlier in the year. They told us it was nothing. Then he had the knee thing, and he wasn't right when he came back from that.
The knee thing's the one I feel the least concerned about.
Because it happens every defenseman, right?
You wrench your knee, it's 4 to 6 weeks, and you're back. And like that one, I don't even think about.
And not only that, but by the end of the playoffs, he was playing better.
The heart and the head?
Scary. Yeah, scary. And this is two things. How old is he? 21?
21 yesterday. Turned 21 yesterday. And this is the guy. This is the guy. This is, it's, a lot is riding on this particular guy.
Oh, you mean it's not Jakub Zboril?
No, I would go with this one. No, this is the one. So it's a big story for the Bruins. The big boy, Greg Bedard, came in earlier. I think he dropped a couple whoppers in our lap, Maz. I really do. The big boy speaks to a takes on the Patriots you don't want to miss. Coming up after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't happen. Have an off season.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Patriots are now a smoke and mirrors offense. It used to be a smoke and mirrors defensive team, you know, where they would pull stuff out and just try to hang on. That's where they are offensively right now. They are smoke and mirrors offense. And I think the Patriots say, you know what? The defense is going to have to be an integral part of what we do. If not the strength of the team. If we're going to win a Super Bowl.
So that was Bedard earlier. And the whole germination was how they're playing on defense, which is really aggressive. Sending a lot of extra guys. They really attacked Kirk Cousins. Far more aggressive, far more multiple. Like some of the old defensive stuff we used to see from this Patriots team. And Bedard says, I have a theory why. And that was the answer. That they now have a smoke and mirrors offense. And they're playing that way on defense because they have to play that way on defense. They can't just sort of manage it on defense, keep things under control for Brady to go win it. They have to go win it on the defensive side now. You agree with that, Maz?
I do. Yeah, or at least, and again, I don't want to say that it's completely flipped, but they are closer to a more balanced team out of necessity than they've been in a long time. I mean, it used to be that Brady could cover up all the mistakes, or the offense could cover up all the mistakes. And to me, that, you know, Brady and the offense are synonymous. Now, I just don't think they can do it that way anymore. I don't think their offense is good enough. So, like, if you think of it, you say, you know, it used to be bend, don't break. We'll give up the threes. We'll stop you in the red zone. We'll give up the threes because we're going to get seven. In the game against the Vikes, they had to keep it to zeros. I mean, I think that that's really what it comes down to. Forget the bend, don't break. You know, it was a more aggressive defense against a team with a lot of offensive talent because they had to prevent Minnesota from getting points of any kind because they knew they weren't going to score. I'm actually somewhat encouraged by it in some ways because I look at it and say, I didn't think they had it in them to do it that way anymore. Now, my only question is, has the league changed so much that it's not going to matter? But I think, again, if you go back last year and you were to say, to use your number from yesterday, 70-30 weighted toward the offense. Now they're pretty close to 50-50. I mean, the 24 points they scored on Sunday was their lowest output at home all year. They haven't scored 24 points in a game at home.
Okay, more from Bedard here. And there's open lines if you want them at 617-779-0985. More Bedard on the Patriots offense.
They have nobody outside of James White who can beat anybody one-on-one. Rob Gronkowski.
Including Edelman?
Yes. Edelman, it must have been four, five, six times in this game. After plays, he's dealing with his left foot again. He is not exploding. He's not really beating anybody. I mean, I'm not going to say he's pedestrian and he's like, you know, Gronk or anything like that. No. He can still do what he does.
Well, that was a shot in and of itself. You mean he's not as bad as Gronk?
Yeah.
What do you see on Gronk?
This was the worst game of Rob Gronkowski's career.
Wow!
I tell you, the big boy came to play today.
Worst game of his career.
He said, you know, Edelman's looking pretty, you know, he's not the same guy. I'm not going to say he looks like a Gronkowski or anything, but, you know, he's not. Wait a minute, what do you mean? No. Gronkowski's worst game of his career.
Wow!
Like you saw a comet, Maz.
Well, look, again, he wasn't good on Sunday.
Very excited.
And he hasn't been good. And in fact, I did a little exercise during the last commercial break. I'm going to give you some names. Nick Vinette, Will Disley, Mo Alie-Cox, Mark Andrews, and Jack Doyle. Do you know who they are?
Yeah, they're tight ends that have more catches than Gronk this year.
Not catches, no. They're five random tight ends you wouldn't know who have the same amount of touchdowns, two, as the guy who's likely going to retire as the greatest tight end in the history of the game.
Wait, what?
Wow!
Yeah. So
Vinette plays with Seattle. Doyle's with Indy.
Yes. Yeah, and Mo Alie-Cox is also with the Colts. Mm. Mark Andrews with Baltimore. These stiffs have as many touchdowns as Gronk does. Two.
Wow!
Yeah. So, the artist formerly known as Gronk, he's lumped in with these guys. And even in his injury-shortened seasons, Gronk has had more touchdowns in yardage through less games than he does this year. 2013, seven games, four touchdowns, 592 yards before he got his knee blown up by Jay Ward. 2016, eight games, three touchdowns, 540 yards before he went out for the year in that Jets game. This year, nine games, two touchdowns, 530 yards, invisible in the red zone while looking like a shell of himself. Gronk is dead.
Well, and I'll tell you one of the alarming things now, and this is something we all saw on Sunday. He's having trouble blocking now.
So Bedard lit him up on the blocking stuff. There was just a train wreck blocking. And what was the clear-out play that Bedard kept talking about?
The one he got stopped just short of the first down that Minnesota challenged.
Yes. So Bedard says they clear out old school clear out the whole thing. Gronk one-on-one with some little safety where he bowls him over, spins out of a tackle, gains 20 yards, at least the first down. And the little safety holds him short. Jimmy, skip one. Give me Bedard on Gronkowski.
Gronk, the force, the monster, the Hall of Famer, the all-pro. You're going to see it in flashes here and there, especially when he has rest and he's feeling well. Maybe the divisional round, maybe the Super Bowl if they get there. Largely, he's going to be an slightly above average tight end. And I think it would really behoove them to go out. They need to bring somebody in because I don't know how much longer he's going to last.
And wow!
Yeah, he meant this year.
Right, he means bringing in a guy now.
Because
Gronk may not make it. That's what he means. And, you know, again, after the Jets game, like, I know I was encouraged. I think a lot of people were. They targeted him seven times and only completed three, but there was enough there to say, well, he might be able to help him a little bit if this thing keeps getting better. He had plenty of time off before that Jets game. Now it's going the other way, right? Like, he had a month off before the Jets game. This time, no rest. He's back on the field. He's hobbling again off the field in the middle of the game. He's having trouble blocking. Was it one penalty or two? I don't remember.
Two.
But it could have. Okay. So a couple of penalties. And it felt like he was holding guys. Like, I don't know. I don't see how it gets better without the rest. And I'm not sure it's going to get better this year at all.
Maz, he already had like a month off. The rest seemingly didn't matter. That's the thing that's so alarming about
it. So the thing that will work in their favor is the buys.
Sure.
Right? Like, you know, if you can get one of the two buys, you'll have a week off during wild card weekend. So maybe you get out of them what you get in the Jets game again. And then before the Super Bowl. So you get another buy there. So maybe in the postseason, he can be a little bit of a factor. But how could you possibly feel confident about the guy when a week after the Jets game, he looked like that?
No, I don't. This is why I said he's no different than any other tight end like old-ass Vernon Davis or Mo Alie-Cox right now.
Yeah, and I don't mean you specifically. I mean in general. Like, you know, when you look at it, oh, my God, he was brutal on Sunday. He was one of the worst players on the field.
He was the number one down for Greg Bedard and you in your three up, three down.
Well, Bedard's means more. He's the one who actually does the film study.
That's why I mentioned him first.
I'm going on gut. But Gronk was bad. He was not good in this game.
Okay, you want one more Bedard bombshell? Like Maz, he's aggravated by how they look on the road versus how they look at home. Here's the big boy on that.
I know the home-road splits have been bad, and that's legitimate. They have played like garbage. Oh, and one thing I wanted to say was, in this game, did you notice how much towel waving and the guys were up on the sideline and all that stuff. Did you notice that?
Belichick himself.
Where the hell is that on the road against these slappies that they play?
Agreed.
What, they only come and play for the big games? The national games? How about those guys do that in Miami on Sunday? And go out there and actually bring some enthusiasm to the field instead of playing like a bunch of zombies like they did against Tennessee and at New York and at Detroit and all that stuff. Let's be professional and why don't they go win a game? Anybody can get up for Sunday night.
Agreed, at home.
That's not what the Patriots do, a real Patriots team. A real Patriots team goes out and kicks butt against everybody anywhere. You want to be a soft road team and a great home team? Great. See how far that gets you.
Again, the big boy had...
Oh, no, he was angry.
Had a big breakfast today.
Oh, yeah, no. He was angry. He was Greg was personally offended by the bad road play.
Or maybe he didn't have a big breakfast. Maybe that was it.
Yeah. Well, see, I usually the only thing that gets him that offended is bad line play. I mean, if an offensive lineman has a bad day, particularly a guard or a center...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God, does it piss him off.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's got no patience for bad footwork and a lack of focus and attention to detail in the middle of the O-line.
But the home road thing's fair. Look, I mean, the engagement and the physicality and just how they came to play was night and day from the previous two on the road in New York and certainly Tennessee. So turn that around and show that in Miami and Pittsburgh. And even if you lost a close game, a fluky loss, I mean, I wouldn't hold that against you. If you show the same engagement and that you're not just a home team, then that further solidifies what you are.
But you know which
eliminate. There's the number of questions on the team is dwindling, but the road thing's one of them. It's still left.
I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. But you know what kind of teams play well at home and play poorly on the road?
Front runners,
fraud teams.
Yeah,
fraud teams. You know who plays well at home and poorly on the road? Miami, 5-1 at home, 1-5 on the road. So now you got a team that's a great front running fraud team at home in Miami. And a team that we question on the road in the Patriots. Like, this would be a good week to show that they can win on the road.
And they've been hearing it all week. I'd be stunned. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to predict the game. But I'd be stunned, disappointed, if they came out flat in this one. Because you know Bill's all up in them for, you know, this whole week. We can't win down there. We suck down there. We've sucked on the road. Like, all week, that's the message. All week, that's going to be the message. So they better respond.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art Top Tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Brady throwing, and that's incomplete, and Gronkowski gets popped. Well, he took a shot.
A couple weeks in a row now, we're not seeing 87 run away from people or run people over.
Throw down the middle for Clark, makes the catch and absorbs the hit. Undercut by Smith.
He's getting up slow, too. They chopped him down right at the thigh.
You're not concerned about Rob Gronkowski's health at all. Are you f***ing okay?
Gronk is dead.
The injuries are starting to take their toll.
Gronk is dead.
Gronk is done.
Gronk is dead.
Big Jim Murray's take. Gronk is dead. 617-779-0985. As promised, to your phones, Jay and Grafton. Go ahead, Jay.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you think of Devin McCourty being a Patriot after this season? He's got a huge cap number at like $13.5 million next season, and his play's been mediocre at best. I'll hang up and listen on the air.
Okay, so I think the you'll listen off the air. The fault lines are this. He ain't worth $13 million, not even close. He's not worth what he's making now. Yet I think McCourty's a key guy for Bill Belichick in that locker room. In fact, to the point where they brought in his brother Jason McCourty and Jimmy and did what to Jason McCourty? Gave him what?
Hush money.
Thank you. So I think there's a little bit of a hush money component there with the McCourtys.
At this stage, shouldn't we just have a hush money drop?
That's much better to go live. Much better.
Keeps Jimmy on.
I thought McCourty was better in this game. The one thing I'll give him, and I don't know, I don't care
how good he's not $13 million.
No, he's definitely not.
He's not a playmaking safety.
No, they won't pay him that. They won't pay him that.
I mean, they're paying him 10 something this year.
Yeah, he's going to have to restructure. They're not going to pay him that. They won't pay him that. I don't think. But I will give him this. I feel like he's getting better. And I thought in this game especially.
You're talking Jason or Devin?
Devin.
Okay.
In this game especially, he tackled well. He really does, man. When he's playing right, he's a great tackler. And so, which was one of the things they did really well in this game. But that's not worth $13 million. That's asinine.
Unless you need him for the locker room, you need him to keep things in order and the buy-in. And I don't know, because I think McCourty plays that kind of role as well. Dean in Worcester with a Patriots thought, I think. Go ahead, Dean.
Yeah, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. All my life, I've been hearing defense wins championships. Now, it doesn't say the number one defense wins championships, the defense wins championships. If I'm not mistaken, in 2007, we had the best offense anyone's ever seen, and a good pass rush, not even a great defense, a good pass rush disrupted that. Now, these guys have been improving on their pass rush. I'm hoping, I mean, the other ones I'd like to bring up are Trent Dilfer won a goddamn Super Bowl. Now, granted, he had a number one defense. And the Ravens, or was he on the Ravens?
So, Dean.
Yes.
What you have to do is take out the outliers. Meaning, you can win a championship on one side of the ball in any sport, you know, as an outlier. Every once in a while, there's a team like Baltimore whose defense is so insanely good.
Denver a couple of years ago.
It doesn't matter how bad their quarterback play is, they're going to win. Denver is that team as well just a couple of years ago. In baseball, there's teams that can't hit, that pitch the way to, but on balance, okay? So, every once in a while, you can give me any sort of formula to win a championship. Sometimes teams win hockey championships just on goaltending alone. Sometimes you win a championship with mediocre guys like Corey Crawford or whatever, all right? But I think on balance in any sport, balance wins championships. And in the NFL, if I had to weight one over the other, I think it's the better offensive teams are usually there versus the better defensive teams. So the defense wins championships to me has always been garbage. Always. It's hard to win with a crappy one. It's hard to win with a crappy one, but you don't have to have a dominant defense. And you don't have to have a dominant quarterback if it all balances out. So I don't know how that relates to the Patriots, but how it relates to the Patriots is this year, according to Greg and maybe some others, that they're going to have to win more defensively than we thought.
See, now, years ago, I would have said that it was the team with the better defense that usually won out. But now I don't feel that way anymore.
I don't think so.
You don't?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think those Niners teams were offensive teams. And so the Giants broke in for a couple were defensive teams, but the Dallas, I think, were largely offense. And not, you know, San Fran had highly rated defenses. They had good defenses. But what was their calling card? It was the West Coast offense. And I just think, even the Packers in the 60s, I mean, just name it. The Steelers, half the Steelers thing was offense. By the time you got to the late 70s, their last two, Bradshaw's chucking it all over the yard. The passing game opened up, and the next thing you know, Lynn Swann is all over the place.
What about when the Patriots won their first three?
I think that was more defense. The first one was certainly more defense. By the time you got to 03, 04, pretty even. But their defenses were filthy in 03 and 04. In 03 and 04, they had good quarterback play and good offensive play. They didn't need it. They didn't need it a lot of weeks. They were so good defensively. John in Providence on this topic. Go ahead, John.
Hi. I think the defense, I love it. They're more aggressive because they know they have the talent to be. I think the offense, they're going to have to rely on the most useless position in football, the running backs. Because I think that's the best position right now. Look at the tight end and look at the receivers.
John, you might be right. People have said that Sony Michel is now the most important guy in the offense. And if that's the case, that means your offense stinks. So you might be right. He might be the most important guy. But that's another indication that your offense isn't the same. I mean, you got to 27 or 28, whatever you got this last week, without Michel, and he wasn't much of a factor.
24.
24. All right, so I don't know. Look, if he might be your most important guy. I'm not going to argue that. But if he's your most important guy, you suck. Little strong. You're not as good defensively. You're just not as good offensively if you need to rely on the running back and the running game.
The
points are going to be held down naturally if you run the ball.
Given what we are accustomed to seeing from them on the offensive side of the ball.
It's not the same.
I don't think it's a stretch to call this team mediocre offensively. And again, I'm grading them against themselves. But they're mediocre. Offensively for the Patriots, they are very mediocre.
Mike in the car on Rob Gronkowski. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Mike and Tony, you were talking about or have been for the last little bit about Gronk's demise, if you want to call it that. But, you know, when did he start doing the TB12, the more stretching?
A couple years ago.
And less weightlifting.
A couple years ago.
You think that has anything to do with, his downward spiral here where he can't block anymore?
Or? I mean, he was great last year, Mike. He had a great year last year, and he was on TB12 last year. And I think there are some people who are willing to point to that. Look at his flexibility. Like, remember the catch he made in Pittsburgh this time of year where he full stride, shoot, top, going across the middle? And I remember some people saying, well, that right there is Alex Guerrero and pliability and flexibility, and he doesn't make that catch in the old days where he's all muscle-bound and tight. That's a catch that he makes because of TB12. And so, like, who am I? Okay, he made that catch because of TB12. Well, now he's breaking down physically.
Now he doesn't make any catch.
He doesn't have the same burst, doesn't have the same explosiveness, doesn't have the same power. In the blocking game this last game, he was a disaster. If I credit TB12 for how he looks in that case, don't I have to stay consistent and blame TB12 for him not? I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to be consistent with the thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know. I mean, you can draw whatever lines you want, but I don't think it's wrong. And I'm not offering this up as something novel at the moment. Other people have theorized it on this show, and I don't think it's something you can throw out the window. But Edelman got popped, and Brady, Edelman, and Gronk, all TB12 guys aren't having good years.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. I would never say
that's irresponsible.
Like
that.
I'm just trying to give it.
I wouldn't know about that.
I'm just trying to give you a fact. That's all. I'm not telling you I'm reading into it.
Don't look at me.
But read into it.
What was I just going to say on Gronkowski? What I really think would happen with Gronkowski is that he got injured. And what happens, maybe it's an injury that you just can't play through. If it's an Achilles, you're sort of stuck with that thing. And if he looks this way because he's got a strained Achilles, he's been fighting through an Achilles all year, then that explains it. That's it. But also, when he's taken such a ever-loving beating in his career. And he is at the end. He thought of retiring last year. So he's close to retiring. Whether he does or not, he's been thinking about it the last year or so. So he's on the precipice of retiring, and he's hurt. Generally, that guy doesn't fight through it like the guy that's in his second year. It's just a different, I mean, we see it all the time.
Sure, it's wear and tear.
It's wear and tear, and I'm not long for this game anyway, so how much time am I going to spend here rehabbing this thing? You know, it's just a whole different mindset when you're at the end.
Kind of playing out the string.
Battling through an injury. So, like, again, your word's not mine, but I mean, it's just you can't discount it. He's banged up in what a lot of people think is his last year. That doesn't bode well for a lot of those players.
No, how could it? Look, again, if you just watching him hobble around there on Sunday, he couldn't pick up an extra half yard. The freaking robot, the RoboCop that Gronk has been for his career, couldn't pick up that extra half yard and overpower the guy. And then he's holding people on top of it and getting called for penalties and can't keep his head straight and get the snap count right to start the game. Like, to me, it's all related. The guy knows he has to cheat a little on the snap, and he just doesn't have the leg drive he used to.
Kevin in Michigan. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, guys, so I don't know if you covered this already, but Brady's really pissing me off with this Instagram video. He's acting like David Price with the Fortnite, like the Twitch stuff. Like, he knows that he could just walk away at any time. He knows that we're worried about him retiring because he screwed us over with Garoppolo, and now he's going to taunt us with this getting in his Aston Martin, revving the engine, and saying, well, we got to get back to work. My wife was scared to death that he was actually retiring. Like, what do you think of this?
Okay, so we didn't hit on the story. I don't even really know it. Tell me what.
So actually, I have some audio here. He was asked about this very thing by Jim Gray.
Okay, but
he posted on Instagram yesterday, being a little bit cheeky, saying he's retiring, but as a runner, like he was, you know, kind of poking fun at the 1,000 yards.
I say so. He's like an Instagram video where I'm retiring as a runner.
Yeah, yeah. It was something along those lines. And, like, people freaked out when they first saw it, or they, you know, it starts trending Brady retiring. Like, oh my God, he announced it on Instagram.
And then Scratchy got to him last night.
Yes, yeah, here we go. Tom, a stunning revelation on Instagram this afternoon. You have retired.
For about 5 seconds. It was pretty fun to do, but definitely not in my short-term plans or my long-term plans at this point. I love playing. It's great for us to win yesterday. 9-3 was a pretty good place, but the last quarter of the season is when it all counts, and we head to Miami, which has historically been a pretty tough place to play, and we're looking for a division championship if we win.
Yeah, but Gray wasn't letting him go on this go again because he was,
Tom, you're being a little bit of a scamp there, trying to pull a fast one on the fans, are you?
I know you were doing it in jest, but what was the reaction that was drawn from just that post?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I think everyone was having fun with it. I hope everyone knows I was pretty sarcastic. It was an off-season thing where I was running in the sand, and I made a little joke about 32 rushing yards, and it took me 19 years to get to 1,000, which is a pretty pretty big number for someone that was never meant to run much in the NFL.
I was there that day you were running in the sand, and it took almost as long as it did to get to 1,000 yards.
Tom, I was there the day that you were running in the sand, and what you lacked in speed, you certainly made up for in majestic beauty. Your bronze legs pumping up and down like muscular pistons. Sweat glistening off your chest. Tom, I was there that day.
This guy's unbelievable.
Oh, he really is. He is a creep's creep.
Oh, what a creep. Jeez. Get out of his jock for 5 minutes, man.
I was there, Tom.
So, yeah, a lot of people freaked out because initially I think that they thought, oh, my God, he's retiring. And obviously he wasn't. So
apparently, didn't Brady say something, too, about the helmet and how he's going to talk to the league about what he can wear next year?
Oh, did he say that?
I think so.
Well, they all have to change it next year.
Yeah, but he went back to the old one now.
Right.
He's not retiring. He can't, and he's not. So, I don't even give this any credence. He's not retiring. I know he's not retiring. He can't retire. So, maybe he'll have to switch helmets or he'll lobby to grandfather it in one more year, whatever the case may be. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, he can come back. That's great. He just better not suck.
Like, I don't know. Maybe start showing up to practice again. Maybe that would be a start. I don't know.
I mean, to me,
crazy.
He's got to be good when he shows up.
We've got, and again, just on that, go look at the spray chart of his passes on ESPN Next Gen Stats, and I don't even know what the hell that is, but I just gave it to you.
It's on the NFL.com website. If you go to stats, you get an option for Next Gen Stats. You can look it up.
NFL.com, Next Gen Stats. Look at his spray chart, if you will, and where his passes went in this ballgame.
NFL.com, the National Football League, NFL.com.
Five passes completed over 5 yards.
I could show you a spray chart.
Well, final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Nitrane overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5 The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire, Tom. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody. A very fired up Greg Bedard of Boston Sports Journal was in today. Perhaps we should have checked his sugar levels before he came on the air at 2 o'clock. But, of course, that includes his 10-question segment. So here's a recap put together by Hardy.
Let's just agree to disagree on that. I'd like to move on from that. You disagree with that part. Got it. Need to hash that out anymore? What's your lead takeaway on the Kareem Hunt situation?
That the NFL is still a bunch of idiots.
If you could relegate a team, who would it be?
Tampa. But you could talk me into the whole state of Florida.
The Bucks.
Oh, good one.
With a month ago, who is the coach of the year in the National Football League?
You guys are going to love this. Here you go, Mass. B-O-B.
What?
Oh, good one.
Number six, who is the most overrated coach in the league, Greg?
Tomlin. I mean, look. Look at this and, you know, good luck.
Your thought on the new catch rule and how it's played out this year?
Thought it's been great.
Exactly what the league wanted.
I love it.
Wrong. It's really been a hot mess. What should be the next big rule change in the league?
It won't happen, but...
Absolutely.
Excellent one. I like that one. Number two, who will be the 2019 league MVP? Next year's MVP is...
Oh, next year.
Oh, I messed that up, too. Yeah.
Number one, what is the most dangerous team in the league right now who is currently outside of the top four seeds? Top four seeds right now, obviously, are Chiefs, Patriots, Rams, Saints. Who's the next team, the fifth team? Who is the most dangerous team outside of those four?
Chargers. Do I think they're going to get it done? No.
Why not? Well, why not? Well, why not? Why not?
This way.
Why? What? Why not? Yes. And that's the sound of me getting punched in the face. What it deserves.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Don't let the weather limit your passion for golf. Go to Winslow's Kitchen Bar and Range, state-of-the-art top tracer driving range with shot tracing technology and Power T ball automation. Whether you're a golf enthusiast or a weekend warrior, you'll love Winslow's 16 heated bays with full-service food and drink, trivia nights, and live music in the clubhouse. Winslow's open 7 days a week, rain, snow, or shine, at Green Harbor Golf Club, 624 Webster Street in Marshfield. Book your bay at greenharborgolfclub.com/Winslow's. Winslow's, because good times and golf shouldn't have an off season.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.